Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
I'm your host, Tommy. I actually listen to the Inside Carolina podcast sponsored by JohnnyT-Shirt.com and Johnny T-Shirt on Franklin Street, best place to get Carolina gear. And you better get some football gear because we're here to talk about the ACC 2020 college football schedule finally released today on Wednesday. Greg Barnes has been all over it. Greg, it is in person, or in pencil, excuse me, given the nature of the beast that is today's society, but the ACC has made some decisions, and quite interestingly enough, I kind of like this new schedule.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You typically, we have the schedule conversation in January, and you kind of run out of things to talk about by March, and yet here we are, 5 weeks before, well, it was opening weekend. I guess it's no longer opening weekend, but we're not far away, and so now we have a lot of new stuff to talk about. The conversation about a 10+1 has been going on for a couple weeks now, and had received word yesterday on Tuesday that the ACC athletic director's primary recommendation would be a 10+1 to the presidents today. Although Brett McMurphy came out last night, and he's got good sources saying that they may not decide to vote. They may wait for another week for the NCAA's Board of Governors to make their decision about the other fall sports. And so it was looking like we were in limbo. But fortunately, the presidents went ahead and made a decision. And like you said, it's a decision made in pencil. You have to make a decision one way or the other. And once you make that decision, then you say, okay, we're set. Let's see how everything trends. I mean, Bronco Mendenhall had some pretty strong comments today about the fact he didn't like how things were trending. So he wasn't really concerned about the number of games scheduled. So a lot of that still to discuss, but the fact that we have a schedule now of what it potentially will look like, and we don't have dates, we don't have television times or anything like that, but we do know it's going to be 10 conference games. We do know there is one non-conference opponent that can be in the mix, although that game would have to be in North Carolina for UNC. And then, of course, the topic that I think will get a lot of attention in the coming days after the initial conversation about scheduling is the fact that Notre Dame is a full-time member of the ACC for a couple months anyway.
That is I kind of like it. I'm telling you, Ross, I kind of like that Notre Dame comes in. Just looking at Carolina's schedule, if you're watching this on YouTube, Greg Barnes does not like that.
Does Greg not Barnes, like it.
He I'm thinks
kinda
that,
with you. I'm kind of with you, Tommy.
He well, thinks that the ACC is a patsy, but yep. We'll discuss that at some point. Ross, go ahead.
I think a lot of fans think that it's just kind of you're rolling over to the wishes of Notre Dame after they refused to join the ACC for so many years. I mean, if we're going to bail them out now, they should go ahead and join the conference, and we get that, ACC gets that NBC TV money or however that works out. Yeah, I mean, looking at the schedule, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, that's the first thing. You see some actual games. It's cool to see Notre Dame on there. It's cool to see Florida State. I was thinking, does it really matter home and away? Because are there going to be fans? I mean, that's another thing to talk about. I mean, how much of an advantage is it to have Notre Dame in Chapel Hill if there's only 10%, 20% of fans there? That's something to think about as well. And the question mark is what happens with this non-conference game? JMU's on the schedule. They could come down. UConn's on the schedule. They could come down. In terms of they were on the previous schedule, they could play Elon. Elon's looking for opponents. They could play Appalachian State. They could play a team in Charlotte. I mean, I heard a buddy texted me and said, what about playing Auburn and Charlotte? Now, that probably won't work out, but those are kind of the ideas that you have to be thinking about. Greg, why did they want to keep the game in North Carolina? What is the thinking behind keeping that non-conference game in North Carolina? Safety?
I assume safety. I assume travel costs is a big part of it. I think more than anything, I was surprised about the travel aspect in terms of it being within the respective states. We knew that it was going to be the medical protocol, and that was going to eliminate it seemed as though that was going to eliminate a lot of the group of five teams and the other schools not associated with the Power Five, just because of the money involved with testing and all that. But by requiring teams to play that non-conference game within their own state, like you said, you've got to be looking at some of these lower level opponents. And then you get into the conversation, okay, well, what do we have to do to make sure they're elevated enough in terms of their testing protocols to match what the ACC wants?
It's interesting. Wake Forest was at non-conference game last year, and now they're on the schedule. They could have been that this year. I don't know. Buck, your thoughts on this? I mean, I like the schedule. Still a little hesitant to get too excited about college football at this point, but at least they are working their way toward that goal.
Well, the headliner, obviously, is for UNC is they get Notre Dame in Chapel Hill. Now, how big of an advantage is that, as Ross talked about? Maybe not much, but I'd rather play Notre Dame in Chapel Hill than I had to go to South Bend. The other thing about, they were trying to make the schedules travel friendly, but they've got North Carolina traveling to Florida State, Miami, and Boston College, which seems a little out of scale there. Although, Boston College was already on the schedule. I like the fact they lose Pitt. I'm not a big fan of playing Pitt. Now, I know that North Carolina's kind of dominated them, but Pat Narduzzi has got that defense humming right now. So I'm not upset that or mad that they're losing Pitt. Getting Syracuse is fine. Getting Wake Forest, a little chance for some get back from last year. Overall, you lose Central Florida and you lose Auburn. The top teams that they're putting on the schedule is Notre Dame and who else? Notre Dame and who else?
Florida State, right? Florida State.
Florida State. Are they as good as UCF or Auburn, do you think?
You're one with a new coach. So.
Well, yeah.
It's a big game opponent, I think. It will attract a lot of attention, that game will be.
Well, yeah. Well, let's look at the balance of it. You're going towards the balance of it. Greg and all three of you. And, Buck, I'll stay with you first. I think it's pretty similar schedule. We talked about it a little bit off the air, but you add Notre Dame, you lose Auburn. You add Florida State, you lose UCF. And then you switch Pitt and Wake, Syracuse, all that. I don't see much difference in at least strength of schedule for North Carolina overall. It certainly hadn't lessened any hype train that's on the Inside Carolina message boards, but.
Well, the Auburn-Notre Dame swap, if that's what it comes down to, Notre Dame was consistently, by just about every preseason magazine and everybody that I've seen look at it, is consistently considered a top 10 team. Auburn, marginal top 10 team. I think Phil Steele has them 19th. I think he has them ranked below North Carolina. Florida State and UCF, I think UCF would be the higher-ranked team than Florida State in most preseason magazines. So Notre Dame is an upgrade in opposition based on all the preseason prognosticators, and Florida State may be a little bit down from UCF. So it does balance out in that aspect, I believe.
Greg, we've mentioned the out-of-conference deal, but one thing Buck brought up, looking at the schedule, Carolina goes to Boston College and to Miami. I mean, they cover the entire East Coast. Was there any thought process there when the ACC was putting this together? I know there was some pod discussion. There was, all these different three pods or whatever. I mean, if travel restriction was a thing, I don't think they did a good job in that sense.
Well, I think depending on who you talk to, meaning if you talk to the Big Four, if you talk to Clemson, Virginia Tech, you're going to get a completely different perspective than if you're talking with people from Miami or Syracuse or Boston College. If the Big Four could just play each other twice and then add a couple games against Clemson and maybe even Georgia Tech and Virginia, you'd be happy with that. You could drive to all those games. It wouldn't be much of an issue. The problem is that the ACC footprint has expanded so much over the last 15, 16 years now, that, as you said, I mean, you're all up and down the Atlantic seaboard. And it's, you know, it's not fair from a ACC perspective for Syracuse to have to travel, you know, maybe to Miami and to Florida State just to make things work easier for the North Carolina schools, for example. And so I think that was certainly a topic of conversation, but at the end of the day, you couldn't make it work for everybody involved. That was something they did discuss, but unfortunately, it's not going to play out that way. I found it interesting. I mean, North Carolina's conference schedule didn't change that much. You know, you're still going to Boston College, you're still going to Miami. You do have to go to Florida State, but then the other three games are home games, and so you get rid of Pitt, and then you get rid of Georgia Tech, but you bring in three more home games. So the core of that conference slate is pretty similar, with just that one notable travel down to Tallahassee.
Greg, did you mention? I just noticed that Syracuse and BC are both not playing Florida State and Miami. Did you say that, or is that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing they've done. So the two most northern teams are not playing the two most southern teams.
Right. So they're obviously the idea is there. But in terms of making it work where everybody could benefit to the best of, say, the Big Four schools, for example, they couldn't make that work. But they did their best in trying to limit exposure for all those other teams. Yeah, it's a tough ask when you got schools everywhere.
And if you look, like Syracuse and BC are both playing Notre Dame and Pitt, and like Pitt's playing Pitt's playing. So they're trying to keep there is some regional aspects here, but then you have UNC going up to Pitt and Syracuse and down to Florida as well. So
I just noticed that Syracuse and Boston College don't have to go to Florida, but which raises the question. I mean, who knows where we are in a couple months? But Florida, we know what's going on down there. And we've seen what's going on with the Miami Marlins and Major League Baseball down there. I mean, that's got to make people nervous. Got to make the powers that be in the ACC nervous about getting this thing done.
What's happening now, though, is it seems like the Sun Belt, and you know, again, I don't have a medical degree, but I'm just read what I read, and it looks like the Sun Belt seems to be calming down a little bit, and the Midwest is picking back up in terms of possible, you know, new cases and so on and so forth. So who knows what it's going to be in September. We've seen this thing change time after time after time. So we'll just look and see, you know, how that works out. One thing I wanted to mention before we get any further, the Virginia Tech game got a little easier today. Caleb Farley is out. He's skipping the 2020 season, and he's no, without doubt, their best secondary player, maybe the best cornerback in the ACC, is opting out of the 2020 season. And UNC gets Tony Grimes. So I think North Carolina's pretty looking pretty good in the secondary, while Virginia Tech takes a step back today.
Yeah, the aspect of that that's fascinating, Buck, is that we don't really care that much about Virginia Tech this year, right? Because there's no divisions. And it's the two best teams.
Well, every conference game counts, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, we spent the whole spring talking about Virginia Tech being UNC's primary competition in the Coastal Division along with Miami. And now we're going to have to reload a little bit and say, okay, well, the divisions no longer matter. Yeah. And Notre Dame, all of a sudden, because of that situation, I mean, where do they rank? I mean, are they a front runner to play for the ACC title this year with Clemson?
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, go ahead.
In terms of North Carolina's schedule, though, the publications I've seen, all of them have Virginia Tech ranked. All of them have Miami ranked. All of them have Notre Dame ranked. So that's like three ranked teams on North Carolina's schedule, off the bat. And, whether some of these other teams, like maybe Florida State comes on or not, but in terms of ranked ACC teams, I don't remember the last time North Carolina played three ranked ACC teams.
Yeah.
over the course of a season. It's happened, I'm sure, but that jumps out off the page there. Now, obviously, it's not about winning the Coastal anymore, but if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but they're still basing this off of conference wins and losses.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, 9-1, unless Clemson runs the table, puts you in the conversation, I suppose. I don't know what the tiebreakers will be. I don't know if they know what the tiebreakers are going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, see a cluster.
Yeah. Yeah, this completely changes everything. Like Greg said, I mean, you got Clemson at the top, Clemson, Notre Dame. You got to think those two are the front runners. Behind them, you know, it could be, you know, Carolina, Miami, Virginia Tech, and is that kind of the next group of teams? Maybe Louisville. I'm not sure how good a team like Wake is going to be this year. Virginia Tech, yeah. So Notre Dame definitely changes the dynamic of the conference. And if you look ahead to maybe what this conference is in 10 years from now, if Notre Dame is in it, you know, it would be those two powers, Notre Dame and Clemson. And with UNC trending up now, I mean, that's kind of where I see, you know, the schedule going out this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, let me stick in a Johnny T-shirt comment right here. Johnny T-shirt, certainly sponsors of this podcast, sponsors of the Inside Carolina family. Get your gear at Johnny T-shirt, and they're having plenty of sales. You sign up for the emails. You always get email notification on whatever sales are going on. Great people to visit. Premium subscribers get 10% off their everyday order. If you're not a premium subscriber, you need to subscribe on Inside Carolina. You need to click subscribe at the bottom of this YouTube video, and you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us. It helps us out. Greg, let's talk about the Notre Dame factor here, and it's sort of a twofold thing, and it's something you mentioned too as well, Ross. Notre Dame plays Clemson, Florida State, and Louisville all at home. Normally you say, hey, that's wonderful to get those teams at home. But, Greg, how much does home matter in this environment? And does Notre Dame get a benefit other than, like I mentioned off the air, sleeping in your own bed?
Yeah, you have to imagine at least early in the season – while they're trying to figure out, you know, how to handle social distancing and how to handle travel protocol, there is a benefit to playing at home. I would imagine as the season goes along, if things get better, as we all hope they do, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But yeah, I mean, I think the fact that, you know, most of these schools are talking about, you know, 10 to 25% capacity, that's pretty significant in terms of you're not going to get much of a home crowd doing that. It is really, as you said, it's the benefit of sleeping in your own bed and all those kinds of things. So I think it's fascinating that this will really be a good test of, look, it's, you've got 10 conference games. You don't, you know, we're not talking about having to win a division. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Coastal Division, you can go 5-3 and win it, right?
It gives NC State has a chance now to win the Atlantic now. No excuses, right?
Absolutely.
See, they can prove that Coastal games
today.
They could prove that they can win the Coastal Division, right? This is their year. But it's that whole dynamic of, you know, the crowds don't matter really, or not as much. You have a 10-game schedule. It's all one division. May the best team win. And all these other variables that we like to talk about so much, they're really kind of on the sidelines, and it's just about who's the best team on the field that particular day.
One thing I'll add on home games, you know, if it's going to be 20% capacity or 25% capacity, I mean, crowd noise becomes pretty much a non-factor. You're going to hear coaches calling in plays. Coaches are going to hate that, but it's good for the, you know, it helps the away team because they don't
have – it's like a spring game.
They don't have to do this to hear the play call. They don't have to, you know, doesn't have to be as many signals. They're going to be able to hear everything, and you're not going to have fans right on you yelling. So, you know, maybe it helps a team like Duke.
Well, it's a mixed bag, right? Because North Carolina won't have to worry about Florida State fans.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it gives the advantage to the away team not having a crowd factor during away games.
Like when Notre Dame goes to I guess Clemson has to go to Notre Dame. I was looking at
Look at Virginia's away schedule. Good Lord. In a normal year.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. That's a good example, Tom. That's where I was getting at. Like, at Clemson, at Florida State, at Virginia Tech, arguably the three loudest stadiums in the ACC.
Yeah.
Brutal. Buck, this deal is just strap it up and play. Got 10 games. Everybody's racing to the same finish line. Strap it up. Let's go.
What I was going to say, rather than follow up on what Tommy just said, was
that's what you
we have got to, before we close out this podcast, have Tommy and I on a debate team against you and Greg as to why it's a good idea or a bad idea that they're including Notre Dame in the whole ball of wax for the ACC. Because I think Tommy and I are on the same page, and you and Greg are on the same page.
Well, I love it for the competition. Like, adding a team, it's great for a good team. But financially for the conference, you know, does that really – I mean, I don't know how it works. I mean, I'm sure Greg has a better answer than I do. But you're going to bail them out now. They better help you out later is what I'm thinking for the ACC. But, I mean, for being a fan and not caring about the future of the ACC, I think it's great for this year. It's awesome. It's a cool addition.
Yeah, we sit here and talk about Pitt, Syracuse, and Boston College. I mean, let's be honest. The ACC is not what it used to be. But, Greg, tell me why – I know why, but tell our listeners why you don't think Notre Dame's addition here is a good deal for the ACC.
Let's see. I think it's a good idea for the year. Okay. Here's my issue with it.
We can't win if you give up at the start, Greg. You're waving the white flag already.
You guys are already trying to put me in the corner saying it's not a good idea to have.
Well, you were shaking your head when Tommy said it was a good idea. We could see you doing the
welcome to the Zoom world.
Yeah, I tell you.
Yeah, that's right.
The YouTube world. So the Pac-12 has already done their conference-only games, and that knocks out a lot of what Notre Dame wanted to play. And so Notre Dame is kind of reeling right now. Now, are they going to be able to find teams to play? Of course. They're an independent. You know, teams are going to be looking for opponents. Notre Dame would be able to make that work. However, the ACC has bent over backwards for Notre Dame in allowing them not to join the ACC in football. Now, you do have the clause. I think it's through 2035. If Notre Dame decides to join a conference, it has to be the ACC. One of the big sticking points from Notre Dame's perspective has been that NBC contract money, which I get. It's a lot of cash NBC's throwing at them. I think that deal, Buck, you can correct me here, is like through 2025, 26 maybe?
2025. Okay. $15 million a year right now. I don't know if it goes up or not.
Right. So that's always kind of been what they've said. Well, we can't really have a discussion about joining right now because we have this contract in place for another 5-10 years. We'll kick it down the road. I think this is the ultimate opportunity, and this was the ultimate opportunity for John Swofford, who has done a tremendous job for the ACC in the way that he's handled expansion. This would have been a feather in his cap to be like, look, a lot of cash there, big brand name. We would love to have you in the ACC. If we're going to help you out, though, in a pandemic year, when we're trying to get our ducks in a row, you're going to have to say, look, when we get to that point where that NBC contract is up, we're going to join the ACC. That has to be a stipulation here. And if you're able to get that done, Notre Dame says, look, we need you this year. And this is a crazy, you know, we've never had a year like this in college football. We need the ACC. And by John Swofford only focusing on the revenue for 2020, which is what this was, he wanted that NBC money because all these television revenues during ESPN and NBC are going to be shared equally among all 15 teams. So that's going to help because all these schools are really struggling financially. By being short-sighted and not holding Notre Dame's feet to the fire, you're letting them off easy. You had to have required a stipulation that if we do this and if Notre Dame can play for the ACC title and get a spot in the Orange Bowl, they have to commit to joining the ACC because it is going to be hysterical and it's going to be a bad look on the ACC for years to come. If Notre Dame joins for 1 year, they somehow get to the title game, upset Clemson, and they have that bragging right of being an ACC champion without ever having been a member.
He makes a good point.
Yeah, great question, Greg. So they get NBC money, five home games, same money, and it all goes into the ACC pool to be spread amongst the other teams.
They're taking the NBC money and the ACC money.
Gotcha.
Putting it in the same spot, splitting it 15 ways.
So how do we know that deal didn't happen?
That's my question, Greg. Ooh. Now,
why now?
One thing I can be sure of is that if that was a stipulation, they'd have never made that public. They would have never said, in 2025, we're leaving NBC, we're going all in with the ACC. NBC would be upset. All of the people they've got scheduled between now and 2025 would be upset. It, you know, how do you explain that in that context if that is a written, agreed-to provision in the contract? Tommy makes a great point. We don't know that that didn't happen.
I'm comfortable in saying it didn't happen.
Well, I'm comfortable in saying that it did.
I don't know. I'm starting to think if you can't prove me wrong, then I must be right. That's how things are these days, right?
That's exactly right.
All right, boys. Last thing, Greg, Buck, you mentioned it, and I want just to talk about it briefly because I think it's relevant, maybe a completely other podcast. But, Greg, the Virginia guy, the Virginia Tech corner, opts out. Carolina obviously has at least one. That's a surefire NFL pick at this point. The NBA is doing it. The NFL is doing it. I mean, is that a thing? Is that going to become a thing in your mind? You follow it as much and as well as anybody. I mean, I don't understand why you would opt out because of what's going on. I can see opting out so you don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? It's just a – I don't know. Is it a thing or is it a one-time thing?
You know, there's the whole conversation. As we talked about earlier, this is written in pencil. And we all hope that this goes off according to plan. We go through the whole season. We have bowl games, all those kind of things. And everything's fine. I think the issue is going to be is what happens when a team, you know, like with the Marlins this past weekend, you get 14 guys that get COVID. And they're mild symptoms, they're healthy, not an issue. But in reading through the ACC documentation today, I mean, it's a 10-day quarantine from the time that you either test positive or show symptoms. Contact tracing is 14 days. So we're talking about the potential for 2 weeks of anybody that came in contact with somebody who had COVID. So I think there's going to be the potential for certain relevant teams to just get demolished in terms of you, your key players not being able to play. And when you go to conference-only schedules like what North Carolina has, we're not talking about, oh, well, they play Mercer next week. You know, we can manage it. You're not playing Mercer this year. I mean, you may play UConn or James Madison. Mm-hmm. You're playing good opponents each week, and you're not, as we talked about, you don't have a division. It's every game matters in that conference standing. So there's the potential for teams to really have some issues and for the best teams not to be at the top of the polls because of COVID. So when you extrapolate that and you start talking about, well, how does this affect teams nationally? What if things go off the rails and you have teams that maybe can't even field a team for a week and you have some of these worst case scenario things pop up? Are we really talking about a legitimate season? Like Tommy, you and I were talking about the other day. I mean, is this a season that may end up with just asterisks beside it? And if it's not kind of the true season that everybody wants it to be, do we get midway through and some guys are like, you know what? This is not worth it. I'm just going to go ahead and pull out. As opposed to doing it already.
What about with Trevor Lawrence? Other than being there for your brothers and trying to win a national championship, I mean, why would he play? You know, if they lose a couple games, maybe Clemson lose a couple games, like, well, we're not going to win a championship. I'm not going to play. I mean, he's the guy who has the most to lose.
Yeah. I think it's important for college football to really pay attention to what's happening with the NBA and MLB and hockey. Because there are cases that are popping up there. But they seem to be doing a pretty good job at this point of, okay, once we have this issue, we're containing it. We're making sure it doesn't spread. And so you need to see success from the pro teams to really help college football be able to navigate this effectively. And so hopefully that's not an issue. But, Tommy, I think a lot of these guys are going to be having these thoughts. And a lot of the guys are going to be on the fence. And so the ones that are on the fence but decide to play, when things turn south or turn left, if they potentially do they back out? I don't know. That'll be something to watch clearly.
It'll be a fascinating study to pay attention to it. I mean, the thing about the NBA and the they're in a bubble, and hockey's in a bubble up in Canada, and soccer's in a bubble, but MLB's not. And then these guys get it. I think MLB's roster 60. They have 60 available players in case that happens. College football, certainly not. Well, you got 85. they could say strap it up and play, you know. So a lot to talk about. We finally have a schedule to look at. At least teams on a schedule. Greg, any word when dates might get ironed out?
No.
We'll come back and do this whenever that happens, I suppose.
Yep.
Buck Sanders,
and we're not, and we're sure not sure if it's going to start the 12th or the 19th. It could start the 19th, correct?
It's the second week of September. So the 12th and the 19th is the ACC championship game date in December. Mm-hmm. But it can't start Labor Day weekend, which is supposed to be week one, but it can start as early as the 7th of September, which I guess is, I don't know if that's Labor Day or the day after, but that's the, yeah, that's the sure. idea.
Another podcast, but I'll throw it out there before I go. So what happens with fall camp if North Carolina doesn't play to the 12th? They keep going. They have NCAA modifies things to allow them to go over their allotted number of practices and so forth.
We will have to wait until next Tuesday, which is when the NCAA Board of Governors rules on what they want to do with fall sports. But with the ACC making a decision, you would hope that the SEC will go ahead and make their decision, and Big 12 will be there with them. And by that point, they can say, hey, these are changes that need to occur, because the Football Oversight Committee is part of that. And they're the ones that told, you know, as you've covered so well, Buck, they're the ones that kind of put their foot in the ground and said, hey, don't make a decision yet. Let's wait a couple weeks, see how things turn out. But we'll have guidance on that then. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember if it's 29 days or 29 practices. I need to look that up. I don't have it in front of me right now. That you're allotted in training camp.
Right.
And typically, if your first game is on this day, I think as you have 29 days prior to that is when you can start training camp. And so clearly with them pushing the start of the schedule, at least for the ACC, back a week or up a week, however you say that, it could change how UNC approaches training camp. But right now, it's August 6th.
One thing's for certain, I'll be canceling my hotel in Atlanta September 12th.
We got to cancel some flights. Greg.
Flights, hotels.
Yeah, that's right, we do.
Yeah, what about Orlando? You still got that one on the schedule?
All of that. If anybody needs a hotel in Orlando or in Atlanta or some Southwest flights, give me a call. Boys, it's been fun. Buck Sanders, Ross Martin, Greg Barnes, Inside Carolina Podcast, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Rate us, review us on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, check us out. We'll be back. This crazy bunch will be back talking about the next step in the process of getting ACC football going. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.